guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And today on the podcast, we have the beautiful Jen with us, and she is a designer, pattern designer for Styla and Little Lizard King. Welcome, Jen.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So excited to have you. Can you do us a little favor and give a little bio about who you are and what you do and all of that?
Yeah. So thank you guys for having me.
Sure.
It's really cool how I got to where I'm at today, but I studied civil engineering in school. So I have a very like mathematics brain and love problem solving and puzzles. But I did that. I did civil engineering and I worked for a few years and then picked up sewing and have just loved every second of it. I have two daughters and a golden doodle and love hanging out with them. I'm a stay-at-home mom when I'm not pattern drafting or fabric designing. So
yes.
It's just been super fun getting to stay home with them and do what I love on the side.
Yeah. Now, how old are your girls?
Emma is 6 and a half and Ada is 4.
Oh my goodness. Now you just took one of them to see Taylor Swift?
Yes. I took the oldest.
I don't remember if you took both or just the one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had just planned on taking the oldest one. And
yeah.
That was that documented our whole outfit making progress.
Oh, I know.
So much fun.
So fun to watch you make all of this. And for those who haven't seen the fabulous outfits she made for the Taylor Swift concert, you need to go follow her on Instagram where she's been sharing all of it because you had custom fabric made for your outfit. And then you even like glittered shoes and I just was like, she's just going for it. She's like trying things she's never done and she's doing it and it's working. And it's just fun to watch people do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was fun to take her. And like last minute, my mom was like, I really want Ada to come home with y'all too. Cause we flew to Houston for the concert.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's going to be awkward. Cause we don't have a ticket for Ada for Taylor Swift. We have to keep it a secret the whole time. Like,
oh my gosh.
Mom was trying to distract Ada while we were getting dressed for the concert.
Oh my gosh. Now, Emma, was she like over the moon excited?
So excited. Aww. Yes. Yeah.
What a fun moment.
Little kids are like funny about showing excitement. So it was just kind of like sometimes they don't know how to express how excited they are.
No.
It's kind of awkward.
Really and they squeal cute. And they're like jumping around because they're just like trying to process like what's about to happen. And is this her first concert?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty cool for a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. Her first concert. I mean, she's peaked in concerts already. My first concert was Backstreet Boys. I was 14. It was the Millennium Tour. And my mom went with me and some of my other friends and their moms. And I will never forget that concert. It was like the biggest arena concert. I've been to smaller shows. I live in Nashville. So I've been to smaller shows at like the Ryman and things like that. But like Amy Grant's Christmas special or something. But the Backstreet Boys at Bridgestone Arena was just amazing. And then fast forward like 20 years, they came back on tour. And I saw them in Orlando almost 20 years to the date since I first saw them. And then I've seen them like 2 more times since then on the same tour. And I'm obsessed. But you know, it's just a part of like your childhood and it sticks with you. So I love that she's having that experience with you. Like my first big concert was with my mom.
Yeah.
It was super fun. Actually, what was your first concert? Do you remember? I'm going to put you on the spot.
You probably don't even know who this is, but it's the Philosopher Kings.
I do not.
You got to go back.
What kind of music do they do?
I don't know. Alternative. The guy wore a dress in his music video. I just remember it was very risque at the time.
How old were you?
I was like grade 9.
I love how in Canada y'all call it grade and then the number.
Yeah, instead of 9th grade.
Exactly. Yeah. Or freshman, you know.
Yes. Oh, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember there was like women throwing their garments at him. And that was the first time I had ever experienced anything like that. And I was so confused. I was just like, those are expensive.
That's
where my mind went, right?
Of course. Of course. You know, I saw after Backstreet Boys, I ended up going to a summer concert, and it was an outdoor concert. It was at the football stadium, and it was for NSYNC. I wasn't as big of an NSYNC fan, but
I was
more of a Backstreet Boys girl. Sorry, but a bunch of us went for like a friend's birthday. Like they got tickets. We had like close seats to the stage. Like their parents bought all of it. And I remember we took like a limo. It was like so much fun. Again, I was around that same age of like 14, 15 years old. And Cisco opens for NSYNC.
Oh my God.
Cisco's number one song at the time was Thong Song.
Yes.
And these girls, you know where this is going. Yeah. These girls come out on stage in thongs and like see-through mesh skirts. There's no hiding anything.
Yeah.
And they are twerking before twerking was twerking. Okay. Yeah, they are twerking in our faces.
Oh
and
my God.
Everybody's like, and I went to like, a small what? Private school. This was a big, like, what is going on moment. Right. And I look around and all of the moms and parents that were there to help like chaperone with us, like for this party, we were maybe 13. I don't know. They were like trying to cover our eyes and we're all like trying to, what's going on?
Look around.
Oh my God. I was
like, who selects them to open for NSYNC, who was like a teeny bopper band at the time? You know what I mean? Like,
I love Cisco. I'm not going to lie. That was my jam.
Did Taylor Swift have anybody open for her?
She did, but it was like Gracie Abrams and then another name I don't remember. We didn't really know them.
I just didn't know. I hadn't seen anybody really share like opening acts. I mean, it's hard.
Like, did they still do that?
It's hard to open for Taylor Swift, right?
It is hard to open for her. And everybody's so like just trying to get in and get merchandise and snacks and food and go to the bathroom that you kind of miss that.
Yeah, because you want to be at your seat ready to go when it starts. Now, how long was she on stage? She's
3 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Was your girl
She was. The first 2 hours she was getting it, dancing and jumping up and down. And then the last hour the first 2 hours she was like, is she done? Is she done? And then the last hour she was like, is she done?
She's so tired. That's hard. And it was way past her bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the last song she did like Bejeweled, and that's one that like she like rallied for that and danced.
Yeah.
It was her costume and she was like,
Oh yes. Okay, so tell us about the costume you made for her.
So I used the London leotard from Little Lizard King, and I had no idea how it was gonna come out. I kinda asked some of my sewing friends who do leotards and stuff about gluing on jewels and how that's gonna work, and I was just kind of going with it, like you said earlier, and got some jewels on Amazon and started gluing them on. And, you know, they held up really well. I was surprised. I just washed her leotard last night and it only one came off. And I think it just didn't have enough glue.
Awesome.
But
you did the leotard and there was a skirt, right?
It's a skirted Leo. Yeah. So that pattern has that option.
And then you did the boots too.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was like a whole ensemble.
Yes.
I love it. Now, how long did it take you to like bedazzle this whole thing?
I know, forever. If my husband kept asking, you're still working on that?
It's worth it.
Yes.
Now, you custom made your fabric for yours. Now, who did you use to do that?
The Style Magnolia. So that's who I work for. I've kind of been with Megan, the owner, since she opened. And
awesome.
It's been so fun growing with that company. And I've kind of just taught myself fabric design along the way because I love working in Illustrator and Photoshop. And so, I've just kind of taught myself and watched lots of videos on how to do fabric design. And
That's awesome. I
had the idea to make the Taylor Swift fabric.
It turned out so cute because it looked glittered, even though it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because Megan, the owner of the Style Magnolia, hates like the faux glitter fabric. Like she refuses to run that in any of our like pre-orders. So when I sent her that, she was like, are you seriously making me get this printed?
Like it's for Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
there's no other reason or time or whatever, but you got to do it. It's for T-Swift.
Yes.
It's part of the process. It's it's so much easier though to get that look that way than like actually trying to find glitter fabric and like sew that. And that wouldn't have been comfortable or laid very well or anything.
Exactly.
So I just went to Craftcation in California, and Spoonflower was one of the biggest sponsor, and they had several people teaching classes on different themes. And one of the classes I was able to slip into on the like the last day I was there was creating seamless designs in Procreate, which I use Procreate, to be able to create fabric patterns that are seamless, so that will repeat. And I have always wanted to learn, so I just got like a drop in the bucket of the information, but it has really excite me to like do more and like I don't know. So I may have to pick your brain about some of the other techniques, because Ashley and I are using learning and using Adobe Illustrator for pattern making. We're going through a course right now to learn how to do that. But I would love to be able to, you know, incorporate the both, you know, to do fabric stuff. But I just didn't know. I didn't know about Styled Magnolia.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check them out.
Yes. Of course, I'm going to advocate for our fabric, but I'm obsessed with the quality of our fabric. Like it is, I used to think it was ridiculous when people said they bought custom fabric and spent like $26 on a yard. But now I'm like so spoiled, and I can't buy, like, if I want to make a pair of leggings, I'm not buying it from anywhere else. I'm just not, because I like the quality of our athletic fabric is just incredible.
So does she just print on knits, or does she print on wovens too?
Oh, we are up to maybe 19 bases right now.
Wow.
Yeah. We just added a new one for bag makers. It's like waterproof canvas.
Okay. We just interviewed and had on Lauren with Mormino, who does all of the bags, and she has a whole shop where you can buy all the things to make a bag. But it lit a fire to me again to want to make more bags, because Ashley makes bags. I've just never really gotten into it heavily. I've made a few, but there's something about, there's a little project that I want to make, and it's like waterproof canvas or waterproof cotton that I need. And I'm like, I don't even know where to go get that. We were just talking about this yesterday. Yes. Solving my problems, Jen. And creating a longer list of things for me to make.
See, in my country, we have waterproof canvas, but it's quite hard to find printed waterproof canvas. Like, that is just, like, not even a thing. I don't even know if we have, like, custom print. Like, I've never heard of a Canadian custom print. No. I don't even know.
We're going to have to research that.
I know. Yeah. But it's just like, I would love to go to the American companies, but it really costs like so much money. Last time I got an order, I had to pay $50 duty. And then it was like $30.
On top of shipping, on top of the order. Yeah, so it almost doubles the cost of what you're buying, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I told her, because Ashley's coming down to Tennessee in June. And I told her, I said, just order stuff to my house. And you can take it home with you.
Yeah.
Because she's driving.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes.
She's like, I'm going to spend all my money before this trip even starts. I'm like, but it's going to be worth it. You're going to be set up for months. And then when you run out, you just have to come see me again.
I don't even have your address. I'm like, do you know where you're going? I'm like, no.
I'll send it to you.
I'll Google it the morning of.
I'll send it to you the day before you have to be here. Oh my gosh. So how long have you been making? Well, let me start up. How long have you been sewing? You said you kind of started after you had kind of started a career in civil engineering. So
yeah.
So how long have you been at it?
Emma. When I was pregnant with Emma, I wanted to make her all the baby clothes. And I'm going to tell you all this because it's funny. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to this guy and Joanne, but my very first trip to Joanne to like buy, I'd been to Joanne for crafts and stuff, but to buy fabric, I was like, I really want to make my baby girl a onesie. Like, yes, onesies are cheap to buy, but I wanted to try to make her one. I had no idea what I was looking for. I had no idea about fabric types. I didn't know knits from wovens and what, I didn't know anything. I go ask this guy at Joanne who works there. And I'm like, can you help me with something? And he's like, sure. And I said, I really want to make, and I'm like pregnant walking in, I really want to make a onesie for my new baby. And he looked at me like, he's like, you want to make a onesie? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, people just buy those. And I got so discouraged.
Rude.
I know. So I was like, yeah, can you just kind of point me in the direction of like stretchy fabric? And he's like, I mean, I guess you could go down this aisle. And he just kind of walked away.
Okay. You ran to the wrong person that day.
I know. And I
was like, oh my gosh.
I guess I'll just feel of all these fabrics. And I ended up not buying anything because I had no idea
what
I needed to buy. And I really wanted somebody to help me. And then I got found a website and just ordered some random knits. Looking back, it's like super bad quality knits. And I was trying to sew on a basic sewing machine and I was getting so frustrated with the zigzag stitch and not stretching. And oh my gosh, but I stuck with it and I made that onesie. But
you just tried. You started.
Yeah.
Like you were like, I'm not scared. I'm just going to do it. Worst thing that can happen is it's a flop, but at least I'm going to learn something along the way.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could find it. It's probably like stuck in her closet somewhere in a pile.
You still have it?
Probably. I love it. With like the crooked zigzag stitch and the snaps not installed correctly.
You need, like they're backwards. You need to pull it out and share that. I think people would appreciate that. I think sometimes we forget like to look back at where we started. Because there's a lot of people that follow us on social media that are just getting started. And they're like right where you are. My other advice to people listening, if you're new to like sewing or new to a type of craft, whatever it is, when you go into a Joann's or a Michael's or a Hobby Lobby and you see someone in the section that you think you need to be in and they seem to know what they're doing, go ask them instead.
Yeah,
ask
talk them. To them.
Yeah.
They know more about the products in that store than probably the workers because those people change out so often and they're just there to collect a paycheck where most of the time, I will say I have some amazing people like at my Joann's and my Hobby Lobby that cut my fabrics for me and they know me and my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They see us on a weekly basis. So they probably recognize me because of her. But yeah, I've helped so many people. I remember one time I was in Michael's and I was looking, we had just put Singer sewing machines into Michael's. And so I was there for something else, but I went over to that section to see what the display looked like at that store. And I like to send pictures to our account manager for that. And so I was doing that and there was a mom and maybe a 8-year-old girl standing there and they were looking at the machines and I was just kind of watching them for a second. And they were like, she's like, I just don't know, honey. I don't know which one. I don't know. I said, do you guys need some help? And she's like, do you work? I was like, no, but I work for the company that makes these and sells these. She's like, you do? I was like, yeah. And so I helped him pick out her first machine. And then we walked next door to Hobby Lobby and I helped her pick out some fabrics to get started.
Like, come on.
She's like, what are the odds that we would be here with you? I was like, you know what? She's like, you don't have to help us. I was like, I want to. Like, this is what I do for a living.
This is my job.
This makes me happy. I was like, here's what I need here. This is, screw that. I'll put that back on the shelf. Let's go get you set up for success. And then I gave her my information. So if they had questions, they could always like reach out because I was about her age when I started. I was like seven or eight. So I want, and her mom clearly had no clue about any of it. Whereas I had a mom that knew how to sew. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that she felt comfortable and had some good resources. So it's fun. So definitely go talk to the people that are shopping.
Yeah.
And if you are shopping and you see someone with deer in the headlights, don't be afraid to say, hey, I don't work here, but I work with this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Do you need some help? Like I've done that in like the vinyl aisle too, with someone who's new to like cricketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know which vinyl to get. I'm like, well, what are you making? And we like talk it through. Right. And I don't know. It's like when we do this podcast, I love to talk about sewing. I love to talk about crafting. I'll do it in your like face to face too with strangers in a store. Well,
you don't get a lot of like interface with people because you're a content creator. So it's nice to be able to like actually use your knowledge in person.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel good to be able to help other people. Mm-hmm. So now that you've started making clothes for your little ones, where did it evolve from there? Like, did you keep going? Did you take a break? How did you get to pattern drafting? Like, that's a big step from
it is a big step.
Not knowing knit fabrics from wovens to now making your own patterns. So how did we get from point A to point B? Because that's impressive. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I just absolutely fell in love with, once I finished that onesie, I was like, wow, I have to try this again.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with it and just researched and read everything and just soaking it all in. And then I mm-hmm. started learning about pattern testing mm-hmm. and like, that's like a whole different world. And, I started seeing all these posts. I started joining Facebook groups and seeing all these posts of like, I just tested this pattern. I was like, well, what does that mean? So then I started mm-hmm. researching that. And I was like, well, I kind of think that would be fun and would expand my like sewing skills and photography yeah. skills. So I joined all the Facebook groups and just started kind of posting more in like all the groups. And I started posting a lot in Made for Mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
A Small World, the owner of Made for Mermaids and I actually went to high school together. But
stop, that is a small world.
she saw one of my posts in her group and she thought it was my sister because we looked very similar and she was the same age as my sister. But she commented and she was like, oh, I thought this was your sister at first. She was like, would you be interested in testing for us? And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, you kind of have to be invited into those. Like you've got to make yourself known and present.
Yes.
And then those invites will
come in,
trickle in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started testing for Made for Mermaids and Patterns for Pirates and just really loved it. And then eventually worked my way through Little Lizard King mm-hmm. and started testing for, because they are always looking for baby testers because that's a really small.
Yeah. Yeah. They grow up.
Baby. Yeah. They needed some baby testers. So I was like, yeah, I'll test. But, you know, Little Lizard King has really high photography expectations. So I felt very intimidated.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to have to get better at this, taking pictures if I want to stay in this group.
And it's hard to do with a little one. It's easier with yourself, but with little ones, you just got to catch them at the right day, at the right time.
Yeah.
You know?
And I didn't know how to work the DSLR camera at all. My husband would have to help me. So I'd have to schedule time for him to be like, not frustrated to want to take pictures of the baby for me and these outfits I've sewn.
It was a team effort.
And he finally kind of got me to where I could use the camera on my own. But
yeah,
I started really getting more involved in Little Lizard King and talking to Jane more about the like drafting process and mm-hmm. what's involved, and realized it was very similar to kind of a lot of stuff you mm-hmm. do in civil engineering and lots of math and
lots of math.
Yeah.
Ashley and I have learned that.
Yeah.
Through our course.
Well, it takes lots of math, but I mean, it's not like hard math, right?
No.
It's some people
formulas,
said
So there's a lot of formulas that you use to like figure out this measurement, which this measurement correlates with this, you know.
But it was just like fractions and adding and subtracting. And I'm just like, because when you're like, oh, it's a lot of math, I'm sitting here like, is it calculus? Is it algebra? Like, what are we talking here?
No, but and then you get more, it's more in depth once you start grading to the different mm-hmm. sizes and making sure you're like upsizing the bust based on your size chart. So it just, you know, that kind of math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once I started talking to Jane some more and just doing more with Little Lizard King and asked her they had been getting a lot of requests for women patterns
mm-hmm.
and because the dresses are so cute and people were like, can we have this at adult sizes? But she didn't really have anybody. Yeah. She didn't have anybody willing to learn drafting for mm-hmm. women. And so I was like, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but I'll try.
Nice.
I'll take some classes and I just started taking classes and reading and learning and loved it.
That's awesome. Do you know what classes you took or did you just, what did you use?
I used Craftsy. There's like a ton of classes on Craftsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. Is some of it like Mimi G's stuff?
I didn't watch any of hers. There was another teacher that I used.
I know, but she has her own course, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I know she also has content on Craftsy. So I wasn't sure if she had some of that same stuff there, if it was different. But that's awesome. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. And you just went for it. So
I
you
did.
Didn't start drafting children's patterns. You started drafting women's patterns, mm-hmm. but we're testing the children's patterns.
Yes.
That's really cool. So is that kind of how Styla was formed? Because it's like an extension of Little Lizard Kings for the adult yes. patterns.
Yep.
Okay.
So once I got comfortable doing the women's, we were like, okay, we can branch off now and start our own. So, you know, you go to the Little Lizard King website and it looked very childlike. We were like, mm-hmm. we really need like an adult looking website and an adult yeah. name. And so that was really scary breaking off because Little Lizard King is a huge group. And we're like, gosh, we're going to be starting from zero on
well,
Facebook.
They're tied together a little. I mean, yeah. like, but at the yeah, same time.
I think it's a natural evolution. Yeah,
I think it works.
Yeah.
But I'll yeah. be honest, I knew about Styla before I knew about Little Lizard King, but that's because I don't have little kids.
Uh-huh.
Mine is mm-hmm. almost 17.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never really so close for him. He just grows yeah. so fast. But I was in it for myself. So I yeah. was into the Styla patterns and everything. And that's how I got introduced to the brand. And then I connected the dots because I was like, why is my email for my order coming from Little Lizard King? But then it was because I ordered from Style, but then I was like, oh, and I connect the dots. So I went the yeah. other, I went the opposite direction.
That's so, cool. That's, yeah, yeah. That's cool to know.
Yeah. So do you still test for other people or are you just kind of focus on Little Lizard King and Styla?
No. Yeah. Once I started designing for Styla, I had to stop testing for everybody
yeah.
just because it's like conflict of interest.
And, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But that was a great learning opportunity. So yeah. for someone who may be interested in learning how to get into testing for different pattern companies, like do you have any advice for them to get started or get put themselves out there?
Yeah, I would love some advice yeah. because no one has let me pattern test for them yet.
You can come test for me. I just tell people to be active in the like group on Facebook because that's yeah. where we see everything. Like we see, oh my gosh, this girl is posting like every day. She loves our patterns. We need to have her test for us. Like, because we want somebody who's enthusiastic and loves our patterns. So it's mainly, and then we do put out tester calls and go through like applications and stuff. But it's pretty much just kind of noticing people in our group and seeing who loves our patterns
and who's taking good photos and
yes, yeah,
you know, those kind of things. Mm. I just got invited to test for Petite Stitchery.
Okay.
And so they invited me, I came into the group and then the first thing that they released was conflicting with like all my travel I've been doing lately. So I kind of held off on the first one and just kind of sat back and observed because I've never pattern test for anyone. I intentionally kind of haven't put myself out there because I'm so, so stretched with everything. But I was really flattered that they reached out. So I was, and I like a lot of their patterns. So I was like, okay, let's dip our toe. It can't hurt. But I just signed up for their one that they just shared like 2 days ago. So I'm going to be working on that. But I'm really excited to like see yeah. it from this perspective, right? Because like Ashley yes. and I are sitting here taking this like pattern design course that we've been doing for 3 months. And I eventually I'm going to have patterns to be tested. So it's good that I have experience from the tester's point of view to kind of have all those different perspectives when putting my patterns out there for testing. But
yes,
the other part for me is I don't like Facebook. So I hate
you. I'm kind of left it.
I hate being on yeah. Facebook so much.
Yeah.
If I could just get rid of it. And that's where it all lives. And I know why yeah. it lives there. The groups make it easier. It's just easier to get all the content in front of people that way and having private groups for each test and all of that. I get it.
Yeah.
But I see those notifications from Facebook and I'm like, I don't want to go look at them.
I know. I struggle with the whole Facebook thing too. And it's
got to be a better.
Now everything's kind of evolving. And I mean, the newer generations don't use Facebook. So it's like mostly older people. And we've seen, you know, everybody's seen a lot more movement towards Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. And that's been a struggle because there's this whole like community out there that we haven't reached yet through yeah. Instagram and TikTok. So I've been trying really, really hard and it's stressful to like grow on Instagram and get yes. our name out there more. And you're like, it's just hard. It's a hard, like, there's some people who got in on Instagram super early and have already have that growth and that following. But when you're newer to it, yes. And it's like consistently trying to post every day and trying to interact every day. It's like, it's hard. And make creative reels and stuff. And
I tried so hard.
Yeah.
Like
she's had a rough week with her reels. And she,
yeah. Like when I actually put an effort, I spent hours doing one reel and it just like, nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, why?
Yeah. I had to make, like, over the holidays, I had to like make a mentality shift because I was like, I'm putting way too much pressure on myself trying to grow this social media. And
yeah,
I need to just stop. So I was trying so hard to make creative reels and they take forever to film and to edit and to get like perfect to where people want to watch them. And then they don't do so well.
The right audio lined up perfectly. Yes. Yeah.
So then after the holidays, I was like, I'm just going to try a different approach. I'm going to try to just talk to people on my stories and not try to be creative. And that's a lot easier. And I've noticed more growth that way. It's like, I can just pop in for 2 minutes and say hi and what I'm going to work on for the day and be done. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed more growth through that. So that's been a good thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard.
We're all trying to figure out the formula for Instagram and
yeah.
And by the time we think we figured it out, they change it.
It changes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Instagram. The struggle is real. And I'll be honest, like I do content for a singer. So every time I like film a tutorial for YouTube and we post it on YouTube, it may do great or it may not. But we take feedback from whatever happened that month and try to change it for this. So every month I'm having to change little bits about the things I do because we have to try to keep up with and try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. If we can't get it down to a science, it just is what it is. At the end of the day, the only thing that's consistent about all social media is being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. Like, but for me, I, like you said, you did a mind shift. For me, I don't want to say it's a I don't care mentality, but I don't look at like the number of views very much. I don't really put a lot of focus on that. I look at more of like the quality of my engagement. So if I'm getting people commenting or asking questions, wanting to know more, sliding into my DMs going, hey, how did you do this? Or how did you create this? Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Or reacting to my stories or those kind of things. Like I may not have a big following, but my followers are engaging.
Yeah.
And I feel like quality over quantity at this point, because
I've seen
people with thousands and thousands and thousands of followers that get the same amount of views on their stories that I do.
Yeah. You're right.
And I have a fraction of the followers. And I'm like, because my followers want to see what I'm doing. Like you, I let them know what's going on. Not every day, because some days I just need to disconnect, but and I'll just share something silly, but I just try to make it fun. It used to feel like a job.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to feel like another job because I already do it for one job. So, and that's the other thing is I do a lot of content creation for my full-time job and project writing. And so by the time I get done with that, it's like, I got to do more.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's for me and it's take some of the pressure off because it's just for me, I'm just like drained. Like, okay, here's a picture of my garden. That's all I have the energy for today. Like, that's it.
It's okay.
So it's okay. But we all have those flops. I think the best reel I have that has performed on my Sewing Craft with Bethany Instagram has nothing to do with sewing.
No.
It's nothing to do with my niche. And it is a video. We're going to go back to concert talk. It's a video from the Backstreet Boys concert I saw last year where I put the video clip of them dancing to the VeggieTales song that was going viral.
My gosh.
And it lined up perfectly and went viral.
Oh, I remember when you posted that.
Did you get any followers from that?
No. Because those are not my people.
No, I know. Right.
And I didn't even share it to my feed. It just lives in my reels. So you have to scroll back to find it, but it stands out. It's like 100 and something. I don't even know. Ridiculous amount of views. compared to my usual reels of like 1,000 views. Mm-hmm. So I just was like, really? That's the one?
Yeah.
And because that's not my audience, I'm not going to get any followers from that. I didn't.
No, no.
It was so silly. But I didn't take it down because it's the Backstreet Boys and it was funny. And it did line up perfectly. Like, I didn't even make an effort.
So do the VeggieTales song. Can you do that?
Gosh, I loved VeggieTales growing up. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a funny little play with like people at concerts and stuff. But the angle I had, you could see all five of them dancing, and the way that they were dancing, it went with, and it was like something about potatoes, and they were like reaching down to the ground, like they're picking potato. I'm not joking.
Oh, it's my God.
Perfect. So I got a ton of comments, a ton of shares, a ton of likes.
No followers.
No, those people don't want to sew.
I wish that things like that would like kind of bring you up in the algorithm. You know what I mean? Like kind of like bring you up, but it doesn't. Like it's just like that one video.
My next reel is probably like 300 views.
Right? Like it didn't do anything for your like overall account, which is what you kind of like you're hoping, but no.
And then I took that same video and I posted it to TikTok. And it was like it never existed.
Yeah.
Crazy.
TikTok hates me.
I don't know what's going on.
I can't say.
You're shadow banned.
I feel like I am. So before I got back into sewing, my stepdaughter at the time had me start a TikTok just so she could really play on it, right? Because she wasn't allowed to have it. And so she was showing me how it works. And we would do some silly like dance videos together. Because I was like, whatever. I don't care. Nobody's going to see this. So I posted a video on there that went viral for TikTok. This is years ago, like at the beginning conception of TikTok. And it was of my dog, Biscuit. She's sitting on a stool, like a spinning stool. And she looks like a mop. She was so overdue for a groom. And so I spun her around to show just how fluffy furry she is. And then I zoom in on her and I back out and she looks like a completely different dog. Mm. And people were in the comments like, that's not the same dog.
Oh, this is
all this stuff. And it went viral. And it's the only video I've ever had do anything on TikTok. Ever since then, I'm just like, okay.
People are like, you lied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, she got groomed.
She got groomed and it is the same dog, I swear. But she just doesn't look cute when she grows out, okay? She's not one of those. She's a mixed breed. That's what happens. But yeah, social media.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And, it's frustrating because when social media started, and I'm going to age myself, but when social media started and Facebook came to life, because I'm the same age as Mark Zuckerberg. So we were both in college at the same time.
I've done nothing.
It was like, I was in college in 2003, and it was like when he was in college, and then it first came out to just college campuses that it was available on, right? Mm-hmm. And it had to be through your school, like email that you had to use to log in and everything. Anyways, it was all about just connecting people, being social, sharing what's going on campus, that like digitally. Just so people could get the information faster of
parties
like what's
events.
Well, not necessarily parties, but like events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like clubs or events or whatever. And so that's where it started. And it kind of makes me sad that social media isn't about being social anymore.
No,
it's about making money. It's about like being controversial. It's about,
propaganda.
It's all sorts of things. It's not what it was intended to be. And I don't know. I kind of just wish it could be simple again. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about the number of followers or views.
I remember getting like the emails from Facebook. Like it's like my email ended up on some like mailing list. And they got a hold of it and getting like every single day an email. You should sign up for Facebook. You should sign up for Facebook. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, cause it started in 2006 when it was like for people. Yeah. Right. And it wasn't until 2000. I had a whole year of just like spam emails from Facebook. Like, they were.
I lost my first Facebook account because when I left school, I lost my email that you had to use. You had to use your university email to sign up for it. Mm. So I didn't sign back up for Facebook again until I think like 2009.
Mm.
I just like went ghost for like 6 years. That's good. It's just, and now I don't like Facebook.
No, I know. I've grown out of it.
I know. I have reached out to people on Instagram and asked them if they want to test for us. And I'm like, okay, do you have Facebook? And they
say no.
They say no. And I'm like, well, that's the only way you can test for us. And they're like, I'm sorry, I'm not joining Facebook. And you know, it's like,
they're protesting.
there is a lot of people out there who just don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Don't want to be.
I think the only reason I have it is because of my business. And so it's
family too.
No, I don't know. That's not my reason.
Okay.
No. If my family wants to see us, they know my
I'm not going to get invited to a birthday party if I don't have Facebook.
Good.
Yeah. That's it.
Take me off the birthday list. Sorry. But no, seriously, like, I don't even post on my personal Facebook anymore. Because it connects, my Craft with Bethany Facebook page connects to my Instagram, it'll... Yeah. Most things will translate over. Yeah. And that's really helped. Anybody on Facebook knows that I still exist. But I have like, we have the Social Hour account. I have my Biscuit Bell Boutique account. I have Craft with Bethany account. I have a personal account. It's like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't want to look at all of these notifications.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Social media, it comes and goes for me. Sometimes I enjoy it. And sometimes it's a black hole that sucks me in for hours. And I'm like, where did the time just go? So let's get back to your pattern drafting, because I have questions.
Okay.
Because Ashley and I, as I've mentioned a couple times, are finishing up this pattern drafting school.
What are y'all doing it through?
It's called the Urbacha School of Pattern Making and Design. It's like, she's based out of Italy. But she's from the U.S., but she moved there and now she's married and has a family there. So she lives there, but she went to school there for fashion. Okay. So she's teaching like a rapid course on how to actually make PDF patterns based on your designs for people, because that was a focus that's not very heavy in fashion school. I went to fashion school 20 years ago and we learned draping and making our own paper patterns by hand. Of course, 20 years ago, there wasn't Adobe Illustrator. So that's the big reason why I wanted to take it, was to learn that side of it and how to create patterns digitally and then be able to grade them and do all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're learning. And we've learned a lot and we still have a lot to learn. But I think for Ashley and I, our biggest question to someone like yourself is, now that we have kind of got these skills under our belt, where do you get your inspiration, or where do you see what's trending in the future? Because these take months to plan and create and test and get out there. So it can take 6 months or so, start to finish, from like conception to like it's here.
Yeah. It's a lot
to the consumer. So how do you figure for that? Where do you get that inspiration?
Fun fact about me, I am not stylish. I do not like follow all the trends and know what's happening. We have somebody on our admin team who is very into the magazines and the fashion shows and keeping track of all of that. And she is kind of our inspiration person. And she'll say, this is what's going to be trending next year. This is what we should try to do. Because it's honestly kind of a lot for a designer to keep up with, like to keep up with their social media accounts, keep up with what's trending or what's coming up, and to draft and to test and to release. Like it's too much. So that's why we have a team to kind of help with where the inspiration needs to go. And
that's nice.
Now, sometimes I'll just be in the store and I'll be like, oh my God, I love this dress. I want to make a pattern for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll buy the dress and I'll bring it home and kind of evaluate it and make a pattern similar to it and grade it out and kind of put my own little spin on it.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you see the different designers with Styla and Little Lizard King that you see their personal style kind of come through?
Oh, and
that's
for sure.
What creates like diversity in the patterns that you guys have?
For sure. Like I am very casual. I like easy summer dresses, tank tops, leggings. I don't ever do like super dressy things. Mm-hmm. And the owner of Styla, Little Lizard King, was like, we really need some like frilly girly like ruffles. And I'm like, that's not me, but I do know somebody who we could hire. And so that's why I brought on Catherine. With
oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah, she was like our first guest on the podcast.
Yes,
because we started it last year.
I've been following her for a long time. And yeah, she's so creative and girly and
very. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so I was like, if that's what we want, then let's hire her and we'll train her and mm-hmm. she can do those kind of releases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's hard to ask someone to create something that they're not inspired by, that they wouldn't yes. wear themselves. Like, it's not going right. to create a good end result if right. they're not feeling it. So that's why I asked that question of like, you guys, yeah. do you bring on designers based on kind of their style, their vibe, what they're into? Yes. Because that's what creates that diversity in your pattern catalog.
Right.
So I don't even know my own style.
I don't either.
I'm like Old Navy. This is an Old Navy shirt. Yeah.
I made this one, but I mean, I'm in jeans and house shoes every day. So I'm not yeah. the best example of like, because I work from home most of the time. And when right. we go to the office, it's pretty casual and I sit in a cubicle. So for me, it's still important that I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like all of my meetings are from here up, right? Like from my shoulders up. So I mean, some days, coworkers that are listening, I'm wearing pajama pants with my nice top. And that's okay.
And they are too.
They probably are too. Let's be yep. real. We all know what the camera off means. You didn't brush your hair that day.
Yeah.
You just rolled out of bed. No, yeah. it's, yeah, it's hard to find your style. And I feel like your style changes as you get older or go into it like different does. Phases of your life. Like mm-hmm. I had a very different style in my 20s than I do in my 30s. Oh, and now same. That I'm approaching my 40s, it's definitely changed.
But your style's coming back now. from 20 years ago?
It's just changing. Oh my gosh, all of the things from the 90s yeah, and yeah. early 2000s coming yeah, back.
So you could go back to that.
Jen, I bought a skort the other day. A denim yes. skort.
Hey, I've been wearing skorts my whole life, okay?
They're so practical.
Ashley's like, I'm not letting this die.
No, you can't.
For 20 years. No, I bought a denim skirt. It's like the jeans with the little flap over yeah. to the front.
Yep.
So cute.
I can't wait to wear it.
So cute.
I can't wait. I don't see it.
It needs to be warm enough. I actually bought it from one of my favorite boutiques where I get all of my jeans from because I love to sew my own clothes, but to have something as simple as jeans be like a fixed staple that I don't have to worry about in my wardrobe. And I have probably 50 plus pairs of jeans. And shorts.
Yeah. I have one.
It's just, I'm obsessed. Ashley's like, I have one pair. We are so different, Ashley.
I want to tackle a jeans pattern.
I do too. And I bought the pattern.
I want to like draft one.
Yeah.
I do too. I do too. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually one of the patterns I'm working on in the course is to make a jean pattern. That can
it's
also
gonna be so cute. I'm so excited.
It's so cute. But it can be jeans or it could be like a trouser
mm-hmm.
okay.
depending on the fabric that you want to make it with.
Uh-huh.
I think it would also be really cute in corduroy. I mean, you could change it out throughout the seasons, but I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I'm going to be working on this weekend.
When I was very pregnant and they were like, they were normal jeans. But I had the yoga band for the
yep.
belly. And I wore them a lot. I was proud of those things.
Nice.
That was a long time ago.
Did you make the whole jean or did you hack the jeans?
I made the whole jean.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you could totally do it again. You've done it.
I could. I just need to find the time.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
So between your pattern making and your fabric designing, I mean, what else, and raising two little girls and being a wife and a mom and everything, like what else do you do for fun? Besides going to Taylor Swift concerts and making fabulous yeah. outfits.
Oh man. Now that it's warming up, we love going to the beach. I love the beach.
So where do you live?
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, I love Wilmington. Yeah. I've been there.
We have
so
such
fun.
A quaint little beach. I love
mm-hmm.
it.
So. Super fun. I didn't realize you were on the East Coast.
Is it that warm right now over there? to go to the beach?
It's supposed to be tomorrow. The weather the past like couple weeks has been like back and forth. It hasn't made up its mind yet whether it wants to transition to summer yet.
Yeah. Same here. So we need to talk about your patterns that are coming up. Because you guys are doing something different over at Stylo, where you kind of give us some insight of what's coming in your process and the testing process and all of that, which I love. I think it gets people excited.
I'm glad.
Like they could see what's to come. Like they're planning their project before it ever releases. So the day it releases, they're ready. They're ready to make
it. We had a huge admin meeting because, you know, Catherine has a pretty good following on Instagram. And she was like, I think it would really help us if we can kind of talk about our patterns while we're drafting them and while we're testing them and get people excited. And I was like, I think that's a really good idea. And so we had a big admin meeting about it and kind of made the decision that her and I would try that out and see how it went. And we've had so much fun with it. It's been a lot of fun talking about the patterns and kind of our process. So
do you feel like it's you're getting more engagement and interaction on those kind of types of content that you're putting out because people want to see and want to be in the know?
Yeah, I think it helps for sure. I don't think we've been doing it long enough to like to know if it's really making a big difference yet. But I do think with the way that social media is going with advertising, that it's kind of a smart business decision to
do this. It's just adding extra content to what's coming.
Yes.
So
So really my bikini is in testing right now, and I have it. I love sewing swim. It is one of my most favorite things to sew. And
look at this top, Ashley. I was telling her about it. I was like, "This is so cute. This is like a modest two piece."
Yeah.
Yes, and it has like a cute cross tie back. And
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But I love the coverage in the front and that band across under the bust.
That looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But the little peekaboo in between, it's like a modern, modest take on like the triangle bikini. Yeah. Right?
It was really like to do.
Better.
So what are we doing for the bottoms? Is there like a few options?
Like they're a mid rise, and it's the first swim bottoms I've done that haven't had any exposed seams. So that's been fun. Like everything's enclosed.
Oh, that's nice.
Teaching new techniques.
Don't they have some sort of like tie?
Like a tie. Yeah. The waistband kind of folds over and you can tie. It has a tie option or a no tie option, but both waistbands are fold over style.
Nice.
And they've got good coverage on the bum and they are, like you said, mid rise up the waist. So again, it's not like a skimpy two piece. It's like a covered, you feel like you're held in all the right places two piece, but still look really cute.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very flattering on the pictures I've seen you share. I was like, because there's a lot of swimsuits I see people post and I'm like, I wouldn't be caught dead in that. Like, no. Well, because I wouldn't feel
out of that age, you know?
Well, I can't see myself feeling confident in that. There's too much exposure.
Room for error.
There's too much opportunity for things to not stay put. So when I saw yours and it was a two piece, because I used to wear two pieces all the time and I loved it. And, but I always wanted them to feel like they weren't, that they were really part of my body. They weren't just tied on in little strings. And, I really like yours.
Thank you.
I feel like it's a good, how do I put this? Like, I've got some cute one pieces that I like, but it's a good step into two pieces without one looking frumpy or two being too skimpy. It's like the perfect medium.
Yeah.
I love it.
Drafting swim is always so hard because you have such a variety of what people want. And you always have people who are like, this is way too much coverage for me. And this is not enough coverage for me. And it's hard.
Yeah.
To,
like, you can't please everyone.
You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
You can't. And I love the people that can rock the skimpier swimsuits. I used to be that person that could
somehow have the confidence
to do that. I'm not that person anymore. And I recognize that, but I still want to feel confident in a swimsuit. So now one thing I've learned from sewing is how to dress for my body where I'm at today. Right.
Exactly,
so if a one, if this two piece over here doesn't make me feel comfortable, this one piece makes me feel like a sausage sometimes, you know, like I'm so not used to One Piece. So that's why I'm really excited about yours. And then you also made a beach pant, like yes. swimsuit pant cover up.
That's
which
cute.
I think is super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Super. Is and that a woven?
Be dressed up. Yes. Woven like a lightweight, okay. like rayon or
yeah.
Mm-hmm. linen. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, when I was at the Sew Expo in March for in Seattle, there was a fabric shop that was at the expo. And I'm going to remember the name of it. Oh my gosh, I have to look this up. Sorry. They are the sweetest people. And they literally just liked one of my posts yesterday. It starts with a B. Billy's Fabrics. And she's the sweetest little lady. Billy's Designer Fabrics. They're based out on the West Coast, but they have some really unique, like, garment fabrics.
Oh, okay.
So they were like, out of all of the quilting fabrics that were there, they were one of the few garment fabrics, and they had everything from knits to wovens to denim. They had so much there. They had a fabric there that was called Linen Lookalike. It looked okay. like linen. It felt like linen. It had the texture of linen. It had the weight of linen, had the flow. It didn't wrinkle because it was a poly blend. It didn't wrinkle. I got it in like, what, two or three different colors. And I folded it, stuffed it in my suitcase, brought it home. I took it out of the suitcase and had no wrinkles, but it felt and looked like linen. So I want to get more from them. And it wasn't expensive. It was fabulous.
Is it IE or Y?
IE, BILLIES Designer on Instagram. So Billy's Designer Fabrics. You can order online from them, but it's a linen lookalike is what they called it.
Yeah.
And I'll share it again. It is fabulous. I got a light pink and then I have like a
cute.
Burnt orange. And I was like, ooh, yeah. I'm going to make dresses out of these, but it would be really good to get more.
It's like all wrinkled.
Yeah. It would be really nice to get more of it and make your beach pants
yes.
with it.
Yeah.
Cause it was very lightweight, very cool fabric. It had that fun texture of
I'm
linen.
I'm gonna have to order some.
It was really, I've never seen anything like it. I bought so much. It was
nice.
So like, those are the fun signs, right? Like, you see, when you've been around fabric enough, you've kind of seen it all, but then you find something like that and you're like, what, where has this been all my life? Like, I would probably have gotten into doing more woven patterns if I could always use a fabric that doesn't wrinkle.
Cause
I really do not like ironing.
No.
Like my clothes after I've made them. Like, I don't mind ironing through the process of sewing. But once I have a garment sewn, I'm like, I don't want to iron.
You don't want to iron it. Yeah.
No. So now that we've talked about your swimsuit and your pants, when are they releasing? Do you have a release date yet?
Yes. Mm. It's like May 17th or 19th.
Oh, like perfect. Mid-May. Just in time for the beach for us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, your podcast airs on the 16th.
Yes.
So this is perfect. I just had to look at dates because I'm horrible with dates. So if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, May 16th, in a day or two, be sure to hop over to Jen's Instagram. She'll post all about it. Be sure to hop over and follow Styla Patterns because they're going to be releasing her two new patterns and you're going to need them for the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I plan on getting them right away because we're going on a sewing retreat and I need a swimsuit. And I don't even want to try on the swimsuit from last summer that I made.
Yeah.
I got to start over. That was my first time I've ever made a swimsuit. So it was a little intimidating.
Yeah.
I made it the day before our beach trip.
I've made Bianca
a lot. I feel
like
this one is easy. Like, I felt like some of the past patterns I've done for swim have been tricky, but I feel like this one is easier.
Nice.
Do you have any swimsuit making tips? Like, if you were like, someone wants to make their first swimsuit, what would you recommend that for them to get started?
Yeah.
Besides, obviously, your pattern.
Basting everything. I used to not baste when I sewed swim.
Baste.
And it is so much easier to baste everything than to have to rip out, like, your final stitches. So every single seam, I use my walking foot on my sewing machine, and I baste everything with a long, straight stitch, so it's super easy to take out.
Yeah.
And then I serge.
You serge. You baste and then you serge.
Okay.
But it depends on the seam. But yeah, it's either.
Is it just because it's like slippery?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. I just find it so much easier to feed through my serger if it's just already basted. And I have to take out less stitches if I baste.
Do you run elastic through most of your seams?
So like for this one has elastic like in this seam and in this seam, but it's not stretched, so it's just like straight through.
Just to
but
keep
I
it.
Do I baste yeah. and my tutorials talk about basting. Like I in every step I say baste just like I just did in this picture. And then I'll say sew it and then remove your basting stitch. So I try to make it super beginner friendly so that you don't mess up.
I will say stylists always had really good tutorials to go along with their patterns.
Yeah, that's like one of my biggest goals with our patterns is to try to make sure that a beginner can follow it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important every single step is in there. I know you are very particular about fabric. I am too. But for some of our listeners who have never worked with swim or made a swimsuit, quality of swim fabric really does matter. Not just how it sews up, but how it lasts through a season.
It really does. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was actually on my stories talking about that the other day because we were at the beach and my daughter's swimsuit has like held up through her and my older daughter. Mm-hmm. And like they sit on like the side of pools and they rub their arms on things. And it still looked brand new, but then the ones I've made that are not custom are like falling apart. Like they're stretched too much and look thin. The color's gone.
Yeah, I find that the color fades from washing and stuff. Like, and then the chlorine will,
the sunscreen and
the
salt water
turn like some swimsuits yellow. And this there's like styled magnolia swimsuits are just still perfect. Like I would feel comfortable reselling them after they've gone through both kids.
Wow. That's amazing.
You get
I remember you sharing your stories. You're at the beach. You're like, come here, let me show them your swimsuit. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Like that was really impressive. Like my oldest has already worn this for a couple of seasons and now my youngest is wearing it and it looks like you just made it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a custom printed fabric from Style Magnolia. Yeah. So you can custom print your swim as well. Cause I find like finding swim that's my style. I feel like a lot of them have a lot of print.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think as an adult, I want something more simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or solid. Cause it can tend to look a little more slimming. I also don't want to stand out at the pool or at the beach.
Don't
any more than I already do. So I don't want some like neon pink. So not my thing anymore. Used to be. I was the girl with the American flag bikini. I'm not going to lie.
I had one of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was on the lake.
Oh, my God.
Every Memorial, 4th of July, and Labor Day on a boat. And there was a bunch of us wearing them. With the straw hats and everything. Yep.
I just have a question about the fabric though. Is it important to find ones that have like UV protectant? Like, does that change things with the quality?
You know, I don't know if I know the answer to that. I know that ours are rated for they have an SPF rating of, I don't know off the top of my head, but it does help with the fading and the like being chlorine resistant, but I don't know about the UV protection, like how that affects quality.
I think it's like the same thing though. Like if it says it's rated for SPF, like I think it's protecting against the UV. Right. Or is that two different things?
I'd have to read more. I should know this, you know?
Well then, write it down and figure it out and put it in your stories.
That's a good question. I wouldn't have even known.
Some aren't and some are. If you look at the, so I'm like, well.
Does that make it a better quality fabric or not? Or is it just
preference? I know it makes it a better quality because it's not going to fade with the sun and it's not going to fade with the chlorine.
Right.
Okay.
Like stumped. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
Anybody knows? Comment. Send us a DM. Tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we want to know, I'm sure other people want to know. I wouldn't have thought to ask that question, though. That was a good question, Ashley.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, like, swim lining.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another question.
I have so much confusion. Is that, do you, okay, do you just use like a nude swim to line, or do you actually use like the actual swim lining that's like thinner and meshy?
Mm-hmm. Nylon.
I actually use swim lining. And my absolute favorite lining is from Joanne. They have white, black, and nude, and I will only buy swim lining from Joanne. I've tried lining from other, I think I tried lining from Raspberry Creek. And it didn't stretch enough, and it felt like it did not feel slick like swim lining.
Stretch.
It felt, yeah, it was very odd. It only stretched in one direction. So when I tried to use it for a one piece, I was like,
I bought the swim lining, and I made my daughter a swimsuit. I think it was like an Ellie and Mac one from a long time ago, and it like stretched as I was. So like when she wore it, you could kind of see it peeking. You know what I mean? And I was just like.
It stretched more than the swim fabric.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
And it was thinner though, right?
It's like a, like almost like a pantyhose, you know, but it was swim lining.
Okay.
Yeah. She has different swim and camp swim lining in Canada than we do here.
Because we swim here because it's too cold.
Oh, yeah.
So they just use pantyhose lining.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but like,
no, I always recommend Joanne swim lining.
It's, I gotta get some.
My absolute favorite.
And it's expensive here. It's like $20 a meter here.
The swim lining is expensive at Joanne too. I always get it when it's on sale.
Oh, yeah. But see, it doesn't go on sale.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
You've just got to drive 15 minutes across the border, Ashley, and go to that Joanne's. She's really close. Yeah.
I am, thankfully.
Oh, okay.
Really close.
But so I can also order it. Joanne's does sell to over the border.
You can just pick it up while you're here, too. We'll get you stocked up for the summer.
I'll be making a bathing suit when I get to your house.
Perfect.
But to address you saying that it's like always peaks out because it stretches.
Yeah.
This bathing suit that I'm releasing, the lining is actually cut smaller on all the pieces. So it pulls the main fabric to the back.
Nice. Oh,
maybe that's the technique then that I needed to know.
So.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
The swimsuit I made last year, and it's the only one I've ever made, it was from Edgewater.
Mm-hmm.
Edgewater. It was one of their more coverage one piece.
Yeah, because
it was
pretty skimpy.
They are very. And that's great for them. But I made the one piece. I will say it was a little cheekier than I really liked. But I was at the beach and I wasn't going to see those people again. And those pictures were not posted on Instagram. Just the ones of me with my shawl kind of covering myself up. But it's a one shoulder, which was fine. But what there was no like telling me to use swim lining or anything. It was using the same fabric on the inside as the outside. And I was using like a black swim. So it was solid black, and it just made sense to use solid black on the inside. And I had it, and I just
like, is that okay? Can you do that? Is that wrong?
Yeah. Like you can use the main for the lining. A lot of people do that with swim.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just usually using pretty expensive swim fabric. So I'd rather not.
True. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mine was not.
Yeah.
Mine was not. It was just a solid black. But for my first swimsuit, it was worth a try.
Yeah.
I feel like I struggled with getting the elastic in the seams.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, at the time, didn't have an elastic foot for my serger.
Did you baste it on first?
And I did not baste it on, Jen.
I don't have an elastic foot. That's why I baste everything. But people have told me to get an elastic foot.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
I was like, why didn't, and what's frustrating is I didn't have an elastic foot for my personal serger, but I had it for all of these Singer sergers. And I didn't even think to grab it and use it because it was literally the day before we left for the beach. And I thought, I'm going to sew a new swimsuit. And then I sewed it. I tried it on once, and it was the only swimsuit I packed.
Oh, wait. I knew you then, right?
Yeah.
Yes, oh, yeah. That was cute on you.
It was okay. Not so much from behind.
I just didn't see you
from
the back.
There was a lot of cheek in the side. Mainly because those cheeks haven't seen the sun in a hot minute. So it was like, I've got a little golden tan, and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not tan. So it was, it was.
Yeah, bring more than one bathing suit this time.
Noted. I just used to have a ton of them. I used to have drawers and drawers of swimsuits like I do now with jeans.
Yeah.
I don't live in Florida anymore. That's part of it. I lived in Florida, we had a pool in the backyard. Mm-hmm. We were like 45 minutes from the beach on the East Coast. Like, we were always outside doing something, camping, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, it's Tennessee. Yeah. If I go outside, I'm going to get mosquito bites. And I don't really want to go to the water park with all these screaming children. So,
right.
And what I was going to say earlier is, you were talking about like the fabric changing colors. So here, if you jump in Old Hickory Lake and you have any white on your swimsuit, it will never be white again.
Oh,
it is dingy brown after that.
Oh,
it's gross. But we go to the lake. So you just don't wear white your swimsuit.
Yeah.
Ask me how I know. I had a really cute swimsuit when I was younger, and it was actually like a brown and white stripe. And then it became like a brown and dingy stripe.
Oh,
and I was like, I just threw it away. It's like, not again. No. That lake will get you. But it's really fun. That's where everybody goes.
Yeah.
So we don't have beaches. Are your girls showing interest in sewing?
Not really.
Not yet.
I don't want to push it just because I don't want to like, but, the oldest one did for a second and then didn't anymore. But then recently she asked to make a dress for one of her dolls. So we did that together, and that was really fun. But no,
let her come to you. Let her come to you.
Yeah.
You know, you making her outfit for Taylor Swift might kind of spark some more interest as she, to see what you were able to make for yourself and for her.
Right.
Because then it just makes it more special. Don't ever get rid of those outfits. Don't ever.
Somebody messaged me on Instagram and asked if they could buy them from me. And I was like, I don't think I want to sell them.
No, you spent a lot of time on them.
Don't. It's just the memory associated with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, my mom made all of my clothes when growing up, and all these beautiful dresses with smocking and hand painting and applique. She doesn't have hardly any of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's either given it away, tossed it, whatever.
I have nothing to,
And I'm just like, I remember these. Like, I wish she still had my little romper, like jumper that she made me for my first day of kindergarten, because it had applique on the front. It had a little schoolhouse with a bell. It had a tree, and the top of the tree was my handprint that she had traced.
Gosh, how cute
it was.
That?
So stinking cute. And poof. Poof, gone. And she's like, well, you didn't have a little girl and you weren't gonna have any more. And I was like, I know.
So she got rid of it later in life too.
And she's like, you didn't want them when I was going through them. And I was like, because I was in my 20s living up my life, like, you that's not the time to ask me. Wait till I'm in my 30s,
like, I don't
or 40s
care. I'm a teenager, like, whatever.
I have Brock's, my favorite Brock outfits when he was little, but, and stuff that people made for him. But, I know he's not interested in that right now.
I know
he probably won't be interested in it for however long, but I'm going to hold on to him. And if he never wants them, that's okay. I have them.
Yeah.
I was just kind of bummed that she got rid of so much. But that's okay.
But like, your daughter, she's 6 and she probably won't remember a lot, but she might remember this, because it'll be like, one of those core memories, you know?
Right. Yeah. It absolutely
show her videos
is.
Every month of it, so she doesn't lose
There you go.
Yes. Yeah, just don't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Even if she says she doesn't want it, at that phase in her life, that doesn't mean she won't later.
Yeah.
I just wish I had more of it, because I was really proud of what my mom, and I'm so impressed by the stuff she had made. And now, back in my day, we didn't really take pictures and videos.
Right.
So it's like, I was telling her, I was like, I need to go through all of my old pictures to see if there's still photos of me wearing some of these things. Because I feel like the people need to see her talent. Now she just quilts.
Yeah.
But she literally hand-painted the entire Noah's Ark with all the 2x2 animals and every, like, little precious moment.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
Little characters. all across a collar, like this big.
That's really cool.
Hand painted. She's so talented.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it is now. I don't know. And she doesn't seem to remember what she did with some of it. So
okay. What if your daughter eventually has a daughter and then she goes to the Taylor Swift comeback tour? Taylor Swift is like 50 years old. Yeah.
It's like when I saw the Backstreet Boys and then now I saw them again and they're all in their 40s. But let me tell you, they still got it.
Yeah.
And she will probably still have it too.
Isn't Kevin like 50?
Yes, he is.
Oh my God.
Yes, he is.
That's so funny.
But it was so good. And they still sound and can dance. So they sound so good and they still dance. So yeah, they were like a two and a half hour show. I was so impressed. I was like, I couldn't do that.
A bunch of old men. Yeah.
A lot.
Don't call them old. That makes me feel old.
They were older than you, though.
Not Nick.
No.
I don't
Nick think... was like the baby of the group.
Though. Yeah, he was real young when they started the band. I know way too much about the Backstreet Boys history.
It's okay. I know way too much about Taylor Swift.
Well, I'm glad you guys had fun on your concert. I'm glad that you got to make those fun outfits and take us along for that ride.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for your patterns to release. So our listeners, again.
I can't wait either.
Jen's new style of patterns. Do they have names yet?
They do. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Okay, that's fine. That's totally fine. This is airing on the 16th. We will know probably by then for sure what they are going to be.
Yes.
But y'all go check them out. Go follow Jen on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Go follow Styla and Little Lizard King. But follow Styla because that's where these two patterns are going to release with the swimsuit. I'm totally making it. And the pants. I'm making those with that linen lookalike. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Thank you, Jen, for coming on and chatting with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We'll have to do it again. Let's see who is up next. Next week is actually a host-only episode. So once a month, Ashley and I do a host-only episode where we don't have a guest, and we're going to be talking about eco-friendly sewing. So just being more sustainable in your sewing, be more conscious of what you're using and how you're using it, and
Many fun tips and tricks on how to also just get things that don't cost as much and reusing and putting life back into
repurposing
things. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to have a chat about that. Mm-hmm. And until next week, guys, thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Jen, for hanging out with us. And you guys always know to listen to us on all of our streaming channels. You can watch our podcast over on our YouTube channel, The Social Hour Podcast. We do have a Patreon, which all of this is linked below. That Patreon is going to give our members exclusive content every Thursday that you don't hear here. So if you want to check that out, be sure to go over there and join that membership. And we have a new website. I know I mentioned this last week, but Ashley, kudos to you for making our new website. I don't know how you do it, but I'm so glad you did. It's beautiful. We're still growing it, but if you haven't checked it out, click on that link. There's a newsletter that you can sign up for. We don't bombard you. It's like one email a week that tells you who's coming, who's the podcast guest. So you'll get one for Jen. And it'll show her little bio and some pictures of stuff she's done. And then it'll also give you a sneak peek of who's coming up next before anybody else knows. So, All right, guys. Well, until next week, happy sewing.
Bye.